Good morning. I should introduce myself in case there are some folks around here who don't know me, even though I haven't been away from here all that long. My name is Rob Sowers. I am pastor out in Morris, Minnesota. I've only been away from here for about 3 years, so I'm probably a familiar face to some of you. And I'm privileged to have the opportunity to share God's Word with you today. The Word of God I'd lay before your hearts this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll read verses 4 and 5. Now the Word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." So what do you want to do with your life? I'm sure many of you are sort of struggling with that question now, or maybe you're trying to avoid struggling with that question right now, but I can assure you that before you leave this place, you will deal with that question at least at some point. It's kind of a tough one to deal with, and for those of you who are a little older who have dealt with this question already, you can sort of remember, can't you, the anxiety of trying to figure out what do you want to do with your life. You know, where am I going to go to college? Or am I going to go to college at all? Who do I want to marry? What do I want to do with my life? You wonder if Jeremiah had some of the same sorts of questions. You know, he was a priest's kid, and so maybe he wondered to himself, well, maybe I'll be a priest like my father. Or maybe I'll get into farming or herding or something like that. For Jeremiah, though, it was really none of these things. In fact, the Lord called him directly and told him what he was going to do. He was going to be a prophet. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would do that for us? He doesn't, of course. He doesn't tell us in that verbal way, so we don't really know, you know. And we have to deal then with that question. You know, what am I going to do with my life? Who am I going to marry? What sort of job am I going to have? What I want to encourage you with today, though, is that no matter what path the Lord takes you down in your life, you can be assured that He has a plan for you because He has made you His child. Let's think a little bit here about Jeremiah and think a little bit about what caused the Lord to call him to be a prophet. Was it that priestly background that I talked about? Or was it his connection to Jerusalem? Was it because he was this great speaker? Or was it because he had all the tools that would make somebody great, a great prophet? We'll read through Jeremiah just a little bit and read and see how many times Jeremiah questioned the Lord, how many times he complained to the Lord about the struggles, the troubles that he had to face. You know, when you read through there, you might just wonder why God chose this guy at all. It's clear that he maybe wasn't the guy that we would all choose. Maybe God should have just skipped him over. So why did he choose him? Well, he chose him really simply out of undeserved grace. You know, you read throughout the Bible, and you see many examples. It seems as if God goes out of his way to choose the sorts of people that we wouldn't choose. Think of Moses, for example. Moses wasn't a great speaker. Moses had spent 40 years out in Midian, and at 80 years old, the Lord calls him back to lead the people of Egypt out of slavery. In the book of Judges, he chooses a man like Gideon. Gideon, a man from the smallest clan, from the smallest tribe, to lead Israel in battle and to be their judge, to deliver them. Or think about Saul. Saul, the greatest persecutor of the Christian church, is chosen to be Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. None of these people deserve to be chosen by God, and yet God chose them anyway, simply because of His grace. In the world in which we live, of course, whether it be in business or sports or whatever else, it's the people with the most talent, with the most drive, with the most charisma and skills. These are the people who succeed. These are the people who are chosen for great things, and we sort of get what we work for. But that's not how God's choice works. His choice of us, what makes it so remarkable is that it's completely undeserved. The Lord says to us in our text here, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." That's true of every one of us. Think about that from one way, and that's a horrifying thing. He knows everything about us. He knows about the fact that we were born as his enemies, that we were born dead in trespasses and sin. David puts this so well in Psalm 51, doesn't he? Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, Jeremiah didn't deserve to be God's prophet because he was totally corrupt with sin. And you know what? We don't deserve to be chosen by God at all because we are dead in our sin. We are totally, completely corrupted with sin. But as with Jeremiah, God chose us by his grace. Through Jesus, his son, he showed that undeserved kindness to us. Through that perfect life that he lived in our place, through his precious blood shed on the cross, he covered our sins. And so Jesus has made us worthy in God's sight. And so what Peter says in his first epistle is true for us. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about that. God called you out of the depths of the darkness of your sin into the wonderful light of faith through Christ Jesus, so that you can have a great inheritance, that inheritance of heaven. That God chose Jeremiah in the way that he did out of that pure grace, that should serve as a comfort that we could all count on, because the same thing is true for us. Just like with Jeremiah, God has given us that wonderful assurance that he has always known that we would be his children. He has always known that he would bring us to faith in him. And it's this truth that we can cling to no matter what happens. We can cling to that truth in our darkest moments, when we are filled with doubt and uncertainty, when we see the depths of our sins and we can't imagine how God could possibly forgive us again, how he could still love us again. We look at our lives and things haven't turned out like we hoped they would up to this point, and maybe someday we'll look back and things won't turn out the way that we planned. And we might start to question things and even question our faith at times. But in those times, we can cling to these words because they always stand true. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. God has called you. He has called you through his powerful word and sacraments to be his own, to live under him in his kingdom. So despite your weakness and mine, despite your wicked ways and mine, that forgiveness and love that God has for us does not fade. You are his own dear child. Let this be the rock and foundation upon which you build your life. Amen. As we consider the plans that our Lord has for us, we, of course, want to place ourselves in God's hands and let him guide us. And so let's close today with the words of hymn 400 as we pray that the Lord would take our lives and let them be consecrated to him.